Please pause here. Welcome back to Pause Here, where we delve into the art and science of breathing to improve our daily lives. I'm your host, Sarah, here to guide you through the science and simplicity of breathing, meditation, and relaxation techniques that can transform your day, your health, and even your sleep. Today, we're getting into the temperature trick, hot, cold, and why your body cares so much. Because temperature is not just background. It's not just weather. It's not just whether you forgot your jumper or put the aircon too high. Temperature is one of the body's oldest, fastest, and most important signals. A cold shower can feel like instant electricity. A sauna can feel like your whole system is finally exhaling. And the natural drop in body temperature before you fall asleep is one of the quiet ways your body says, okay, it's time to power down now. So, in this episode, we're looking at how cold exposure can sharpen alertness and challenge your nervous system, how warmth can support circulation and recovery, and how the body's shift from warm to cold can help us fall into a deep sleep. Because the science suggests that temperature is not just comfort, it's communication. Now, just a quick note before we dive in. Sauna and cold exposure are not a one-size-fits-all wellness magic. If you're pregnant, have cardiovascular issues, faint easily, take certain medications, or know your body does not love extremes, please be thoughtful with this stuff. So, as always, know your body, respect your limits, and if you're trying anything new and intense, check in with a clinician first. Before we dive into the cold plunges and saunas, I want to start with the bigger picture. Your body is always regulating temperature. Always. Even when you're not thinking about it. Even when you're asleep. Even when you're just sitting there minding your own business with a cup of tea and a blanket and no particular plans to become a case study in thermoregulation. That's because temperature is not a side issue for the body. It is a core survival variable. Your brain, especially the hypothalamus, is constantly helping coordinate temperature regulation. It's taking in information from inside the body and from your skin, and then adjusting things like sweating, blood flow, shivering, metabolism, and behavior. Do you need to conserve heat? Release it? Move more? Curl up? Wake up? Slow down. Your body is making those calls all the time. And that is why temperature affects us so quickly. Hot and cold don't just feel like sensations, they actually trigger responses. Your heart rate can change, your breathing can change, your blood vessels can constrict or dilate, your sense of alertness can spike, your muscles can tense, your body can start sweating or shivering before you've had time to fully form an opinion about it. So one of the most useful ways to think about temperature is this. Temperature is information. It tells the body something about the environment, and the body responds accordingly. A useful question underneath this whole episode is, what state is this temperature pushing me towards? Is it pushing me towards activation? Towards recovery, towards sleep, towards stress, towards safety, towards adaptation. Because that really is what we're talking about. Not hot as an aesthetic, not cold as a trend, but temperature as a state-shifting cue. And I think that's part of why temperature practices can feel so powerful, even when the science is still emerging in certain areas. Temperature changes are often immediate and get your attention fast. In previous episodes, we've explored light, breathing, and sound as some of the body's biggest signals, and temperature belongs on that list too. To the body, hot and cold are not minor details, they are data, and sometimes they're very loud data. So let's start with cold temperatures, because cold is probably the more dramatic of the two. You step into cold water and suddenly you are no longer worrying about your unread emails, your taxes, your existential dread. You're just in the cold. And that's not an accident. Cold exposure produces a strong physiological response. Especially in very cold, icy water, the body can enter what's often called cold shock response. Your breathing speeds up, your heart rate rises. The sympathetic nervous system, the more mobilizing branch of the autonomic nervous system, starts to become more active. In simple terms, your body is shifting towards more alertness and defense. That's part of why cold feels so immediate and so intense. It's not often calming in the moment, but for some people, it can be calming later because it's so effective at grabbing attention and reorganizing the system. There's a tendency to talk about cold exposure as if it instantly drops you into Zen monk serenity, but physiologically, cold is much more of a challenge stimulus than a relaxation stimulus. It says to your system to wake up, pay attention, mobilize, adapt. And depending on the person, that can feel amazing or awful or somewhere in between. For some people, the appeal of cold is exactly that intensity. It has the ability to cut through mental fog, it narrows attention, it creates a kind of forced presence. There is no half-hearted cold shower. Cold temperatures force your body into fully participating in this moment, whether you like it or not. And that forced presence may be part of why some people find cold mentally clarifying. It interrupts rumination. It cuts through emotional static. But again, that is not the same as saying cold temperatures are inherently soothing. It's usually activating first, and that activation is important to respect. Because if someone is already highly anxious, already running hot with stress, already dysregulated, or prone to feeling overwhelmed in their body, cold temperature shocks may not land as refreshing. It may land just as too much. A recent review looked at cold water immersion in healthy adults and found something really interesting. Cold exposure did not consistently reduce stress immediately, but some reduction in stress showed up later, around 12 hours after exposure. The immediate effect of cold is often a stress response. The possible later effect may be something like increased resilience, altered mood, or a sense of improved energy for some people. So cold temperatures are best understood not as an instant calming effect, but as a dose of controlled stress. And controlled stress is a fascinating category, because not all stress is necessarily bad. Exercise is stress, learning is stress, cold is stress. Adaption often comes from the body meeting challenges and then recovering from them. The important question is often the dose. Too little stress and no adaptation is required. Too much stress sends you into overwhelm. Like most things, somewhere in the middle, something useful happens. So I'd frame cold temperatures more like this. Cold temperatures are less a relaxation practice and more of a controlled challenge. For some people, that challenge may feel sharpening. For others, it may feel dysregulating. Context, dose, health status, and timing all matter. A cold shower at 7 a.m. may be a crisp kick into alertness. A cold plunge late at night, when you're trying to go to sleep, may be a different story. So if you're thinking of experimenting with cold temperatures, I think the most useful framing is not to go as hard as possible. It might be more, can I use this stimulus in a way that feels challenging but not reckless? And that might mean a cool rinse at the end of your shower, cool air on a morning walk. But sometimes what people love about cold temperatures is not purely the physiological response. Sometimes it's more in the story, the feeling of overcoming something hard, proof that you can overcome discomfort. In this case, it's not just a biochemical effect, there's also a psychological element to it. So cold temperatures, in short, seem to do a few things. They increase alertness, activate the stress response, grab your attention hard, and may help some people feel sharper or more energized. In some cases, it may have delayed benefits in improving stress responses or well-being for certain people. Now let's step out of the cold and into somewhere warm. While cold temperatures signal to your body to wake up immediately, warm temperatures often signal more of a relaxation response. And that doesn't mean warmth is lazy or passive. In fact, heat produces real physiological changes too. Saunas are probably the best known example here. When you sit in a sauna, your body responds by increasing blood flow through the skin and raising your heart rate. Heat causes vasodilation, meaning your blood vessels widen, especially near the surface, helping release heat. Sweating ramps up, circulation shifts, your cardiovascular system is having to respond to the thermal load. And that's why a sauna can feel both demanding and deeply relaxing at the same time. Your body is working, but the subjective experience is often a release. And I think that duality is part of what makes heat so interesting. It's not just comfy, it's active in a different direction. Where cold tends to constrict and activate, warmth tends to open and soften. Studies also note that saunas raise heart rate and increase skin blood flow, producing a cardiovascular load that, in some respects, resembles moderate physical activity. Now, that doesn't mean sitting in a sauna is the same thing as exercising. You don't get to lie there sweating and tell your legs they've done a 5K. Nice try. But it does mean that the heat is doing something. Heat exposure increases circulation and changes the way the cardiovascular system responds. Some studies suggest repeated sauna use may support lower blood pressure and improved vascular function over time, especially when paired with broader healthy habits. There's a reason many people feel different after a sauna. They may feel looser, lighter, sleepier, clearer, or more open in your body. And that makes sense, because warmth often works in the direction of release. It relaxes muscles, increases peripheral circulation, and reduces that clenched, contracted feeling that often comes with stress. There's also a psychological layer here that's worth exploring. Warm temperatures are often associated with safety, not in a fluffy metaphorical way, but in a deeply embedded way. Warmth often means shelter. It means rest. It means enclosure, comfort, softness, being held. Humans are very responsive to warmth, and not just because it changes your blood flow. The experience of warmth also interacts with memory association and the general feeling of being cared for. That may be one reason why warm practices can feel so regulating. A hot shower after a brutal day, a bath when you feel emotionally frayed, a warm room when you've been overstimulated. A lot of us spend large parts of our lives in low-grade mobilization, not panicking exactly, but not fully settled either. And warmth can sometimes help your body move from a guarded feeling to something softer. Doesn't make it a neat cure-all, but it does make it a real regulation tool. And this is where the sauna gets even more interesting, because repeated heat exposure may also act as a kind of recovery ritual, one that combines physiology, environment, and behavior. You sit, you sweat, you stop multitasking, you give your body one clear thing to do. And that slowing down matters. Not just the heat itself, but the context of the heat. A lot of restorative practices work partly because they remove competing demands. Warmth, plus stillness is a very different nervous system experience from warmth plus chaos. From here, we get to one of the most elegant temperature shifts in the body, the move from cool to warmth and into sleep. Sleep is not only about being tired, it is also surprisingly a lot about temperature. Core body temperatures naturally decline in the evening, and that drop is tied to your circadian rhythm and sleep onset. At the same time, the body increases heat loss through skin, especially through distal areas like hands and feet. This is one of the reasons thermal regulation is so tightly linked to sleep timing. The body doesn't just decide to sleep out of nowhere, it starts preparing. It dims the lights hormonally, it shifts circadian timing, and thermally, it begins to let heat go. That means that sleep is partly a heat loss event, which is why overheating at night can be so disruptive. It's not just uncomfortable, it can interfere with a normal part of the body's transition into sleep. And this also explains something that sounds like a paradox at first, why a warm shower or bath before bed can help you fall asleep. Because warm bathing can promote vasodilation and help set up the body's later cooling process. In other words, that warm bath or shower is not the final state, it's part of a sequence. Warmth first, then a gradual cool down, then sleep. And that sequence matters. Scientific review found that passive body heating with a warm shower or bath about 1 to 2 hours before bedtime can actually improve your sleep, particularly by shortening sleep onset latency. The likely reason is not that you stay hotter and then sleep better. It's that a warm bath helps set up the body's later cooling processes. A recent study on circadian skin temperature rhythms in real-life settings also found that stronger and more stable temperature rhythms were associated with better sleep efficiency, less wake after sleep onset, and longer sleep duration. The body likes a bedtime arc. Not just total exhaustion, but a transition. That is one reason sleep routines can be so powerful when they work. They give the body cues, less light, less stimulation, less effort, and in some cases, a temperature pattern that clearly indicates to your body that we're moving towards rest now. It's also a part of why sleep advice so often includes keeping your bedroom a little bit cool. Not freezing, just cool enough that the body can do what it's already trying to do. A slightly cooler sleep environment often supports the body's nighttime thermoregulation. It's not just about comfort. It's also about allowing your body to do the heat loss part of falling asleep. This also explains why some people struggle to sleep when they're overheated. It's not just annoying, it may be physiologically interfering with your body's normal transition into sleep. If you have trouble falling asleep, especially if you often feel too hot at night, temperature may be more relevant than you realize. Because the body's move into sleep is not forceful. It's a drift, a lowering, a softening, a release of heat. And that fits with so much of what we talk about in mindfulness and rest. A lot of restoration is not about doing more necessarily. It's about allowing your body to shift. So what do we actually do with all of this? How do we use temperature in a way that is grounded and helpful? I think it helps to break it into 3 simple categories. First, we have cold to sharpen. Cold temperatures can be useful when the goal is alertness, stimulation, presence, or a reset in attention. This might look like a cool rinse at the end of a shower, stepping outside into cold air in the morning, a brief cold exposure that feels invigorating rather than punishing. The key idea here is not conquest, it's cueing alertness. Next, we have warmth to recover. Warmth can be useful when the goal is decompression, muscle release, comfort, and nervous system downshifting. That might include a hot shower after work, a bath when you feel wrung out, a sauna if that's accessible and appropriate, even just warmth as a part of intentional pausing, curling up under a blanket after a long day. The point is not optimization for the sake of it. The point is to support your body's shift into recovery. And finally, a shift from warm to cool to sleep. For sleep, the main takeaway is that your body needs to cool down. That doesn't mean you need to feel cold. It means supporting the body's natural nighttime temperature rhythm. It might mean a slightly cooler bedroom, lighter bedding, less overheating before bed, or a warm shower or bath earlier in the evening to help set up the later cooling. And therein lies a bigger practical takeaway too. Asking what state your body needs. Do I need to wake up? Do I need softening? Do I need to transition? Do I need to stop fighting my body and support what it's already trying to do? Because temperature becomes much more useful when you stop treating it as random and start treating it as a tool. Not an extreme tool necessarily, just a cue, a gentle nudge, a state signal, a way of working with your body rather than against it. What kind of temperature would help me feel more regulated right now? So today we looked at temperature, hot, cold, and why your body cares so much. And the big idea is that temperature is not just comfort. It's one of the body's quiet but powerful ways of regulating state. Cold tends to activate, it sharpens attention, triggers a stress response, and can feel intensely clarifying for some people. Warmth tends to support circulation, release, and recovery. And the body's natural move from warmth to cold in the evening is one of the ways it naturally prepares for sleep. So whether we're talking about a cold shower, a sauna, a warm bath, or a cooler bedroom, the point is not that one temperature is morally superior to the other, it's that the different temperatures can support different states. Cold can mobilize, warmth can soften, and cooling can help you sleep. And maybe the most useful thing to take away from all of this is that the body is always reading the environment for cues. Breath is a cue, light is a cue, sound is a cue, and temperature is a cue too. They are all signals, and if we start listening to them a little more closely, we may find that regulation is sometimes less about pushing harder and more about listening to your body and giving it the conditions it's been asking for all along. Thanks for pausing here with me today. If you've enjoyed our time together, try out the Pausing Point app for more mindful rests. Why not share this episode with someone who could use a pause in their playlist? And don't forget to follow us on your favorite podcast platform to never miss an episode. If you want, you can also follow us on our social media platforms. We're at Pausing Point to get updates and stay connected. Next time on Pause Here, we're exploring the power of the sigh. Why one of the body's simplest breaths can interrupt stress, shift your nervous system, and bring us back to breathwork in a way that's practical, science-backed, and surprisingly powerful. Before we finish today, let's take a small pause. If you can, get a little more comfortable. Nothing dramatic, just let yourself arrive where you are. Take one slow, deep breath in and one slow breath out. Inhale and exhale. Now just notice your body as it is, right here. Notice your face, your chest, your shoulders, your hands. And gently notice the temperature. Do you feel warm, cool, tense, heavy? restless, a little wired, a little flat, a little tired. No need to change anything. Just notice. Now bring your attention to the surface of your body. The skin on your face, your hands, your arms. Notice where your body feels warmer. Notice where it feels cooler. Check in for a moment and ask yourself, what does my body need right now? More warmth, more coolness, more rest, more space, more settling, more waking up. There's no right answer. Just listen to what your body needs. Take another slow breath in. And as you breathe out, imagine giving your body just a little more of what it needs. If you feel cold, imagine a gentle warmth spreading through your chest and shoulders. If you feel too hot, imagine soft, cool air around your face, neck, hands. If you need rest, imagine your body dimming, not shutting down, just softening, like the system is allowed to lower itself by one small degree. Let your jaw soften. Let your shoulders drop. Let your breath stay easy. And remember, temperature is not just around you. It's one of the ways your body communicates. So listen kindly, notice gently, and trust that even small changes can help your body feel steadier, safer, and more at ease. Take one final breath in, and one long breath out. I'm Sarah, and you've been listening to Pause Here. Until next time, breathe deeply and cool down gently.